Podcasting worldwide from Vancouver, Canada. Welcome back to the Personal Process Podcast. The show that takes you through the growth, hardship, self-discovery, lessons, and stories of individuals who achieved success in their own personal path. Trust the process.
Welcome back to the Personal Process Podcast with your host, Parham Elmi, and my amazing guest for today is David Kings. Now, before we go on and ask David what he's about, what he's done, and kind of like the big picture of who he is and kind of the processes in between, David is an e-commerce king, as his last name would kind of, you know, show. He has a very fantastic story, and I think without getting really into it, he's just going to put it out there. He's an absolute legend. And we're going to get into like what he came from, what he is now, and kind of his whole process and that. So thanks so much for being on the show, David. How are you?
Yeah, I'm glad to be on, man. I'm just glad to, you know, to be here, like with everything you're doing with this podcast. You know, I heard the previous episode and it was amazing. So yeah, I'm just glad to be here. I'm doing great. Yeah, just glad to be on.
Sweet, David. Well, we're very happy to have you. And I think your story is very inspirational. And I guess something that I even forgot to leave out is that David was actually my mentor when I was starting my own e-commerce shop. And he was really against me, but I was going for men's fashion, which has a large competition. And David was like, yeah, you got to find your own niche, bro. But I was pretty adamant on my field, which is probably why I'm currently out of the game right now. And my man here is in the game, doing very well for himself. So it's kind of a very interesting time to have you back on the show. I guess, David, if you could kind of just give us a little ramble about what you're about, your story, like what would your 30 to 60 second pitch be about yourself? Big question, I know.
Well, I mean, 30 to 60 seconds is not really enough, but the short version is, you know, I'm just... you know, a regular guy like everybody else. Nigerian, originally from Nigeria, but I grew up in Dubai,
right?
And yeah, I lived in between Dubai and Canada, and at the moment I'm currently in Dubai, but yeah, throughout this entire process of, you know, growing up here and there, you know, there's been a lot of things that has happened that led me to where I am today. So
why don't we go into that? What was like the first kind of, I guess you said you were in Dubai in Canada, so you started in Dubai. I'm assuming you went to like school there?
Yeah. No, grew up here my entire life. Well, okay. Not my entire life, but like until I was a teenager. Right. But yeah, I was basically raised here as a kid. It was good, you know, I guess wherever you're raised, it kind of like just used to the lifestyle there and everything. You're not really sure what else is outside.
For sure.
And yeah, so... It was really cool. It was all right. Grew up here, didn't know much about anything else. Just went to school, did my time, you know, just with my family. And then it was until I went to college.
Yeah. So then you went to college. What was the game plan for that?
Well, my parents actually just wanted to split my family up. Just like they wanted us to be super multicultural. Like Dubai, in a sense, it is a multicultural city, but there are, you know, certain limits. So because of the laws, it's also an Islamic country as well. So
for sure,
you know, yeah. So there's a lot of like restrictions in place for what you can and can't do.
And different so fears. Yeah.
So just growing up here with that mentality and that worldview. It was kind of limited in a sense, you know, even with that, with the level of multicultural culturalism that's here, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So then, so come Canada, I was what, 16, 17,
Wait,
I believe.
You went to school at 17 in university?
Yeah, I graduated high school at 15. So,
sheesh, ladies and gentlemen, we got a genius right here. Right on, man. So, okay, let me get this straight. You graduated high school at 15. Wow, this is something I didn't know about you. I swear, everyone I interview, I just learned something new. So, you graduated at 15. You went to university at 17.
At 17, yeah.
What were you doing in between, my man? Were you fixing the solution for COVID before it happened, or what?
No. I was a little bit too young, like, because my parents wanted to ship me off to, like, college, but I was a little bit too young when I graduated. They weren't going to ship me off at, like, 15, right? So
That's fair.
Yeah, they wanted me to take, like, I guess a couple years just to chill. I don't remember, to be honest, exactly what the process was in between 15 and 17.
Yeah,
I just know that, you know, I was out of school by then because, I guess it was a little bit early. But
right.
That's kind of how it went, in a way. So 2 years later, I'm on a plane and so got accepted into SFU.
Okay. That's Simon Fraser University in
Vancouver,
British Columbia. Yep.
Yeah. Got into SFU and, it was a different experience, I would say.
How so?
Well, I mean, you know, Canada is on the west. It's a western world, basically, you know, it's way just different culture, different everything than, you know, what Dubai is.
Right.
So just going over there, it was amazing. Different weather, like literally everything was different, right?
You got a little bit of rain instead of the sand, eh?
Yeah, Dubai, it is hot, right? Dubai is hot. Yep. It is burning hot, especially in summer. So going to Canada, I went during, this was actually like in the middle of the year. So June, I arrived and it was cold. That was the first thing I noticed.
Who needs culture shock when you got weather shock? Yeah, I love it.
First thing I noticed, it was cold. So,
Okay.
So this was around, it was going to be summer soon. You know, everybody else was, you know, just wearing normal t-shirts. And, you know, I had to put on a hoodie. I had to put on gloves. I'm like, no kidding, right? I had to put on multiple gloves. I had to put on a beanie. I had to just get the whole winter, like, shtick just going. But it was a different experience, you know, and I was just thrown into this completely different world at like 17. So it was at that point. It was at that point I realized that, you know, this is the moment I have to become a man of my own. Because I was there with my mother, but she left me after a couple months, maybe a month.
Right.
Yeah, so I was just in this entirely new country with, like, knowing nobody. My older brother was there, but he didn't want to, like, associate. Like, he didn't want to, like, chill and, like, hang out. Like, he just left me completely on my own.
Really?
Yeah. So,
That's tough.
I just... Yeah. It was a good... a good experience or, like, a good thing to happen. I would learn... you know, how to be a man of my own. And that is exactly what happened, you know.
Traversing through the hardship, for sure, man.
Yeah, so I just got plunged into this world. And then...
that's huge.
Yeah, so going into college, it was good, you know. I just kept my head down, you know, met a bunch of people. But, you know, just going from... Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, Dave. Sorry to cut you off. So just to kind of go back in there, because this process is there, this podcast is kind of just about the process everyone goes through in life, the hardships, the struggles, the ups and downs, and which leads them to the places they are. So you're mentioning that you just plunged, and I love that word. I think it just grabs it so well. You plunged into a new culture. You plunged into a new university at 17 years old. Wow. So I guess, you know, it's easy to talk about it now, you know, like, yeah, I plunged through it. It was, you know, it was hard, but I did it. But like, how were you feeling at the time? Like, did you feel optimistic? Was it scary? Like, lead us through that experience.
To be honest, it was a little bit scary, but, you know, mentally, I think I've always, just from the get-go, I've always been strong mentally. I've always been a strong person. So whenever I face adversity, I always know that, I always know that... I'm gonna overcome it. Yeah, it doesn't matter how.
For sure.
I'm not saying it's easy. I did have moments where I would just, you know, internally just break down and just, you know, just be suffering, you know, myself on the inside. And the thing is, I'm not one to like share with other people my problems, you know, because to be honest, I think unless you know, somebody's actually like really caring about you, like it's really nobody else's problem. So you kind of just have to go through it. Yeah, just by yourself, carry yourself a little bit. Unless you've got somebody who surely can cry on. But at that point, I didn't.
I feel you, man.
Yeah.
So do you think that's something that you kind of learned to kind of share your emotions with your close circle?
Yeah, so eventually as time passed, I did get a circle of friends, and the way that happened was, so it was college, you know. I was a freshman, and, you know, I knew that I had to be social, you know, to meet people, you know, to get into the cool circle or whatever. And
absolutely.
Yeah, so I decided the best way to do that was just to throw a party, right? And
okay.
And so I did. I met a bunch of people actually at a college, and then I just invited them over to my spot. I was like, you know what, come over. And the funny thing is, I had never drank. I had never done anything. So I would invite a bunch of people over to my spot, and then I would just throw a bunch of parties. Everybody else would be drinking. I would just be chilling, but interacting, you know, just grow my social circle.
For sure. Yeah. Just vibing,
Yeah. So eventually I would do this literally like twice or three times a week for months. All right.
Okay.
Yeah. So eventually I had a set of people who would keep coming over and over for like every single party, and eventually those people became my closest circle of friends, right? And yeah, so now while these people love to party, they were also smart, right? They also had connections to other people,
right?
Yeah, so it was a good way for me to just expand my social circle and network, not just not just with like, you know, people who love to party or whatever, but like you know, the smart kids, you know, the people who knew the city, you know, just people I could get, just, you know, help me move forward in life, you know, just like help me advance in Canada.
Yeah. Absolutely, man. And how important would you say these networks are? Like, do you have any specific stories that you think like one network introduced you to or anything like that? Again, this is on the spot, so no big pressure if you don't.
To be honest, I think who you know, even in life, in general, think who you know could be like your net worth is your network, if you've heard the same before, right? So who you know can help you climb the ladder much faster to where you want to go and where you want to be, right? My circle of friends, I think they were the people that I needed in my life at the time, you know, like eventually all of us, we had to split up because you know, everybody had to go their own way, but at the time they were just what I needed to like just keep me mentally like secure and
level up.
But one thing I wanted to go all around Canada.
Wow.
yeah that's one thing I really wanted to do. I wanted to explore because I'm super adventurous as well. So and so from these people that I knew, they knew more people, and so whenever we would meet other people that they knew, they would invite us over to their city, to their houses, to their parties, to their to the different colleges, right? UBC and the other colleges,
right?
So from this group of friends, I got to know more people, I got to visit different places, I got to try different things, you know.
That's
so
huge.
it was a really nice experience and a good way. By the way, this process took months. It wasn't just like over the span of a week, right? It took months. But
so you're not just an ultimate socializer that meets everyone in school in 10 minutes?
Yeah.
Dude, you're letting us down.
Yeah it was a good experience, you know. It was nice. But yeah, so absolutely. For the most part, I settled in Canada, you know, just kept studying. But 2 years, two years into college, I had to drop out.
what happened there?
Another adversity. So at this point, my, because I was getting funded by my parents completely 100%, right? I was 17. I didn't have a job or anything. Right.
And you're an international student, so you're paying.
I was.
You were selling your liver and kidney to go to school.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my parents, and you know, they were doing good for the most part before I traveled.
Yep.
And then you never know how life is gonna go. So 2 years in, I believe it was 2 years. We kind of hit this, like just this iceberg in life,
dark
right?
point.
And so
absolutely, man. And I mean, you were only 17, like you're in a new country, and you're an international student, obviously. And for those that don't know, international students, even I think it's Simon Fraser, I don't know if you remember yourself, Dave, but I think what I've heard is like even $10,000 a semester, and there's three semesters at Simon Fraser University. So $30,000 a year just to go to school, not including food, not including housing, and just, you know, not even including social life expenses.
Yeah, I think it was actually even more expensive than $10,000.
You're kidding.
It was a little bit more. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was because I remember I had to pay 30 something thousand a year. And this was just, tuition costs, right?
Right.
So, yeah, everything else, housing and food and just like textbooks and all that stuff.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that was extra, right?
Right.
Yeah, so my parents, they struggled a lot. They struggled a lot. And
no, that's fair.
Yeah, and back then, the laws in Canada, they couldn't let you work as a student, right? So you had a student permit. And yeah, so...
How did you get through that?
Yeah, it was kind of tough, you know? So I dropped out because I couldn't study anymore. Like, what was I going to do, right? The college wasn't going to let me study. I tried, you know? They were understanding, you know? They tried to give me payment plans, but eventually I couldn't catch up.
Right.
And things were going on in my life personally as well. So I had to move out to a cheaper place, a place I could afford.
Just to survive, yeah.
Yeah, and that was when I had gotten my first ever relationship. I was trying to navigate that as well.
Yeah.
And trust me, being in a relationship with no finances, it's not the best. It's not the best.
So now YouTube and Hangout instead of the Netflix and Hangout, eh?
Yeah.
Saving that money.
Yeah, you know, we'll go to the park a lot.
My man, that sounds like my COVID life right now.
Yeah, a lot of visits to the park. So, there was that.
Yep. Oh, you should see this park. It's new. We haven't been there before.
Yeah. it was a lot of walking, you know. You know, luckily, what I do like about Vancouver is that it's a beautiful city to walk. You know, I got to give it that.
That's true. That's true.
It's a beautiful city to go.
It's a money.
Bike riding, you know, like it really got me into like the adventurous spirit, to be honest, hiking and everything, you know. So I really got to appreciate, you know, just the simple things, you know.
For sure.
But yeah, so eventually I figured out that I had to get a source of income, right?
Yes.
And so now I had to get a job.
Yes.
And at this point, I didn't really care about the laws, right?
Okay.
And I think the laws kind of changed, if I'm not wrong, or maybe it was already in place and I hadn't known about it. But you could work part-time as a student.
I think it did change at that time.
Yeah, I think it changed.
Yeah, no, it did change. Yeah.
So you could work part-time as a student, I think 20 hours or whatever. And so you could get a social security number and all that.
Yep.
And so, yeah, so that's what I did. I got my social security. I went down to wherever to get it. I got it.
Yep.
And then I applied for the first job I ever got was at an electronics store selling TVs. Yeah.
Man.
So... Yeah, no, it was a cool job. You know, that was the first time I realized I had to stand for 8 hours a day. You know, just
how was that?
I was fit. You know, I was going to the gym, so it wasn't the worst.
Yeah.
Yeah, I dealt with it like a champ. But
beauty.
Yeah. But it was cool. It was cool. I got a little bit of a sales experience. You know, I had to sell
for
TVs.
Sure.
Yeah. That was the first, by the way, that was the first experience I had in sales.
Yeah.
So just convincing somebody, hey, you got to buy this for this reason, right? These are the benefits and these are the features and all that stuff. I was on the best, of course, ever. Like, I was okay. I was decent.
Yeah.
But eventually I got fired from that job.
What?
Yeah.
What happened?
The boss man, I'm not sure what happened. He used to smoke weed a lot. And there was a day he caught me, like, having a little bit of a extended lunch break. And he flipped out on me and he was just like, yo, I don't want you, why are you taking such long breaks and everything like that? I just told him, I was like, because the shop is empty, like nobody's here. You know, it was a slow day, but he wasn't having it. Yeah, he wasn't having it. And eventually I wasn't having it. And I just left. Yeah.
Man, I feel that.
Yeah.
So like, what did that teach you about, I guess, what you value in life, or like...
No, one thing I learned was that you're always at the mercy of somebody when you're working for them.
Right.
You know, and I didn't like that at all. but I had no choice.
Yes, you know, because you're in a tight spot financially.
Yeah, parents were struggling. Yeah, this was my source of income, and just like that, I was let go. I was let go, and then, you know, I wasn't making a lot of money, right? I think it was $12 an hour, like minimum wage, right?
And only 20 hours a week, so that's barely even getting enough food to eat.
Yeah,
rent, eat, sleep, park walks with a girlfriend.
So I got let go from that job, and eventually I had to find another job, right? Obviously.
Yep.
And so the second job I got was I was working for the Red Cross. So I would go door to door.
Red Cross, wow.
Yeah. To convince people. Yeah, to convince people to, you know, sign up for the Red Cross or donate actually to the Red Cross. And
right.
Yeah, no, that was cool. That was cool. You know, like, I believe I'm a social person, you know, like I can interact with people. Yeah. So basically when I was at each door, I had to sell my personality, not the Red Cross.
For sure.
Yeah. And a lot of people would donate actually to the Red Cross just cause they love my personality. They would laugh and they would just like be cool with me. And, and it was cool. So at that job, I got a lot of like promotions. They made me a leader to like train other people.
Awesome.
Yeah. I won a lot of like just free gifts, which was cool. Right. Like stuff I couldn't afford, like Beats, headphones and all that stuff. Yeah. Which at the time it was hot. Right. So.
Oh, for sure. Beats were So David, I guess just expanding a little bit on this, when you became a leader, I guess, did you enjoy that process? How did you feel about that?
It was good. You know, it was very validating for me, you know? So like, I mean, like I said, I'm a mentally strong person. You know, if I see for something that I want, I go for it. And this is just the way that I am naturally. So, but
just the grinder mindset.
Yeah. And so that translates for other people that, okay, he's a leader, you know, he's a go-getter. You know,
for sure.
So, yeah. So, and that's just me being me, which I guess is a good thing, right? So,
absolutely.
Yeah. And so, getting that validation, it was like, okay, I guess it's nice, you know, to train other people to like get all these things, like be employee of the month or whatever.
Yeah.
So it was cool. It was cool, and I liked it. But eventually, I think I had to quit that job. Because it was winter and I was almost getting frostbites from the cold from going door to door.
That's true. Fair.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, yeah. So basically, long story short, a lot of things happened in Canada, good and bad. I had so many experiences.
Yeah.
Even with I had run-ins with the cops. I went on this mountain that I just told you about, right?
We were talking about it yesterday. Let's tell our viewers, this is something that I actually didn't even know until yesterday. You just found this picture and video and sent it to him. Like, David, what? I had no idea this was happening.
Yeah.
So why don't you lead us through the story, man? Because I didn't actually even get a full blast of it yet.
No, that is that's a super long story, actually. Yeah.
What about like a little synopsis of it? It's pretty interesting.
That was before I left Canada. Okay, so basically I was in Canada from this was at the end of this was mid-2016. Yeah, mid-2016 was when I was gonna leave Canada to go back to Dubai, because eventually life happened that I couldn't sustain myself anymore, you know.
Sure.
Yeah, I couldn't live anymore and just live there. So I was like, okay, you know what, I'm gonna go back to Dubai. I'm gonna just chill with my friends for a little bit, try to get some money to go back to school, see what's going on with them. Like, it's been years, like, why couldn't they send me back, right?
For sure.
Yeah, so I was just getting a little bit frustrated, but at the same time I was just being cool, you know, working. Absolutely. Going from job to job, house to house, moving around. I moved a lot of houses actually while I was there.
Right.
Yeah, but I met a ton of cool people, you know. I met great people.
Yeah.
I had so many experiences that I could write a book about.
Absolutely, man.
Yeah.
So Canada's done, you know, you've tried your best, you've used your grinder mindset, you've pushed through, you've traversed, and now you're saying, okay, time to go back home, time to chill for a bit, time to help my family. So happened then?
Yeah, okay, this is a transition from Canada to Dubai. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So just before I left Canada, I was in a relationship. Yeah.
Yep.
And so, once again, finances came into the situation. It wasn't.
Yep.
Yeah, it wasn't beautiful. It wasn't a pretty situation. as well, because what happened was my girlfriend, she wanted to travel to Asia to teach for like 6 months. Yeah, this is actually another girlfriend that I had, not the same one.
My man, too many parks, too many girls, eh?
Like a lot of experiences, man, like I said.
Yeah,
she wanted to teach in Asia for 6 months, so. And also at the same time, I was trying to go to Dubai, and I was trying to tell her, hey, so this is my plan, just because I'm not in a good place financially, so just for us to continue the relationship, would you come over to Dubai, you know, after Asia? And so we kind of talked about it, but in the end, it just didn't work out, because...
For sure.
Yeah. And so, yeah, so we had this, like, so we kind of just split up before I traveled. Right,
that's hard.
And then that was it for me. That was the beginning of the that was the time I was like, money has really fucked me up, you know, sorry to use that word. Money has really, like, money has really, like, messed me up bad.
Absolutely.
You know, and I was just like, I was just thinking, I was in my room, and I was just down. I was really just down. I was like, I got no money, like, what am I gonna do? Right. And okay, so now, like I said, I used to go to the gym a lot. Okay, so now, because I go to the gym a lot, I was all about bodybuilding. I was all about fitness. So now, I went on bodybuilding.com. I would go there all the time. All right, they had they had a forum, like a a forum of just like bodybuilders, and I would go there for years. Yeah, but just to see random posts about bodybuilders and like just what guys are talking about, like just shooting the shit. But then that day that I was frustrated, I decided for the first time ever to check out the finance section of bodybuilding.com. Right.
Interesting.
So I opened that for the first time. That that day I was heartbroken. I think I was crying a little bit. I was just like sad and depressed, you know. So I decided to just check out the finance section. And so I checked it out. And so I saw this thread. It was on like the first page. And the caption or the title, it said, ask a guy who only works 4 hours a week anything.
Wow.
Yeah. So I opened it. I was curious. I opened it and it was just somebody bragging about money, right? Like,
so you're depressed and you're looking at pages that people are bragging about money when you're struggling financially and you're not in the best
place. Yeah. So I was like,
glutton for punishment. I love it. Yeah. Let's go.
Yeah. Yeah. And okay, like at that time, the job I was doing, because I had to raise money even just to fly back to Dubai, and the job I was doing, like, I had to scrub the floor with a toothbrush. Like that was my job. I would go, and it was a construction building, and so they would just give me a toothbrush and like go scrub the paint off the floor with this toothbrush, get on your knees and scrub the paint. Yeah, so that was my job.
For... How'd that make you feel?
How do you think it made me feel? But one thing is that whenever I'm in like crappy situations, I always look on the bright side. So that's what keeps me like just optimistic and going, right? So even while I was like scrubbing the floor with a toothbrush, I was like, okay, but this is a really beautiful apartment. Like, I would love to live here, right? I was just like taking it in. I was not even minding, like, I was on my knees doing any of that. I was just like taking in the beauty of the apartment that I was just scrubbing in. I was like, this is an amazing place, right? So so I liked going to the job, right? Just so I could like be in that place,
right?
Right. it was better than where I lived, so I liked going there. So
that's so. I'm just gonna stop you quickly just to add in this interjection right here. It's really interesting that you mentioned that, because you know a lot of people in your situation, they would not be thrilled to do that. You know, they'd be like, oh, I have to go do this. You know, this person, my girlfriend broke up with me. Oh, you know, I'm struggling financially. But it's interesting, you were doing all of this and you were in such a weird spot and you still were like, wow, this is the place that I want to live in. Wow, this is awesome.
Yeah.
And you're really just, you know, like trusting the process, like from the core. I mean, I think that's what this podcast is about. It's, you're like, yeah, you know, this is where I want to live. This is what I want to work into. And you know, I'm here right now, but I'm not even going to pay mine to like the struggles I'm in. Yeah, I might not feel the best doing it, but like I'm gonna get here.
Yeah.
And would I be right in saying that you kind of harnessed this energy and use that to propel you forward, David?
Yeah, definitely 100%, because it was it's also your drive, you know, like everything in life, I believe, mm-hmm. it's how you look at it, it's your outlook on it, right?
Absolutely. Yeah,
so like obviously I'm not saying like, you know, like whatever situation you can just be like, okay, this is the bright side of it. No, but you can't, it's like a, it's mm-hmm. It's like a, like how do I put it in words?
It's the frame at which you look through.
Yeah, but it's also like, right? A workout. Like, you got to flex that muscle, you know?
For yeah. sure. Yeah. Like, it's... That's very
yeah,
true.
You got to, like, actively make yourself look on a bright side of things, you know? So, that would...
Did you have any strategies about going through that? Like, did you meditate?
No.
No?
Not at all, right? Like, I'm not going to cap. I'm not going to say, like, I was meditating. I was, like, just, you know, taking sure. 5 minutes every day. No.
No yoga or anything like
no.
that. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. At first, like so, when I went to that job, I didn't like it. But then over time, I
you just trained
yeah,
yourself.
I was like, okay, well, you know, I could actually.
I gotta do
yeah,
this.
This is what is gonna pay for my trip. I'm doing it anyway. So why just cry about it?
Might as well enjoy
yeah,
it.
Instead of like looking at the beauty of like, okay, it's a beautiful city. I've never been here before. It's a beautiful apartment building. It's construction, you know. So
that's fantastic.
Yeah, you know, I was like, there's A&W, there's Burger King like right next door, you know.
My man.
Yeah,
hormone free,
exactly,
let's go.
You know, like I was looking forward to the small things, you know, because I would love lunch, I would love my burgers, my $5 burgers, you know, I would love it all the time. Man. Yeah, yeah.
So shout out to A&W, you guys need to sponsor this guy, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Okay, so you get your burgers, you get your fries, then
yeah,
you probably get some ketchup and hot sauce in there too. Enjoy the little yeah. things. So what happens after that, Dave?
So my point for saying all of this basically was that was the job I was doing. Even at that point mm-hmm. where I was so low and depressed in my room.
Yep.
Okay, so now when I read that thread, a lot of people are bragging about how much they make.
Yeah,
I make $100,000 a month. I make $60,000 a month. I barely even work, right? You know, there was all yep. these guys just like talking about it, showing up their cars and lifestyles.
Yep.
And I was just there just looking at it like, and you know what? The funny thing was like, none of them said anything about what they did. It was just like, ask a guy who works 4 hours a week, anything. Okay, well, what do you do? Right? Like, how do you afford this lifestyle? And so what I did was I sent him like a DM. I messaged him like, hey man, so can you tell me like, you know, like what's up with this, like how are you making all this money and stuff? And he for just sure. said, okay, just join this Facebook group,
right?
And then I went on Facebook group, and that was the, I think, the first time I saw e-commerce, the first time I saw just like basically just like e-commerce, yeah, and just like drop shipping
yeah, yeah.
and like
drop shipping, just to let our viewers know, drop shipping is essentially you building a website for yourself, you having suppliers, and having people purchase from your website through your advertising, primarily on Google, Facebook, Instagram, to get to your website, write a fantastic description of a product, and using a product that your supplier has, and shipping it from the supplier to your customer. So you are essentially the marketer, you are essentially the middleman in this
yeah,
process.
Exactly, exactly. So, sorry to cut you off there, but that's what dropshipping is you're the middleman, but mm-hmm. you sell a product, and you don't touch any of the inventory. So what dropshipping is when
right.
you sell a product and somebody buys that product from you, you buy it from somewhere else mm. and you ship it directly to them. So for example, if I am selling a phone case on my website or anywhere else, and somebody buys it yep. from me on Amazon or Etsy or wherever, and somebody buys it from
yep.
me, I don't have to touch the inventory, right? I just go to AliExpress,
right.
I source it from whichever website, and I ship it directly to the customer. So
yeah.
that's dropshipping. Dropshipping, you're not touching any of the inventory. You're just shipping it directly to the customer. You're the middleman, and you just keep the profit. Yeah, you
for
just
sure.
keep the profit from the markup.
Absolutely. And when you started this, were you still in Canada?
No. So when I was in Canada on my bed, and that was it. I just DM'd him. He told me to join the Facebook group. Yeah,
yeah.
Join it.
And you got it.
No. I didn't get anything going. I just joined the group, and then I was like, okay. I didn't do any research.
Chilling.
I didn't know anything. I was just like, cool. Right? Eventually,
okay.
from my
yeah, yeah.
toothbrush on floor job, I got enough money to fly. I got enough money for a ticket.
Man, that is a title on the resume.
Yeah.
toothbrush on the floor job. Okay. All right, got enough money to
fly back to Dubai. And when I came here, my main goal was to come here for like 3 months, assess the situation financially with my family, see how we can get me back to college.
Yep.
All right. I just wanted to go back to school. I wasn't trying to work. I wasn't trying to do anything. I just wanted to graduate university. So when I got back to Dubai, I saw that things were actually worse than I thought. You know, like, we weren't even living in the place that I was living at the time before I traveled. We were living in a different place that, you know, wasn't really the best. And, you know, after a while, after a month or two, I realized, okay, it's likely not happening. So at this point, I was like, which was another adversity, I was like, okay, I'm not trying to live here. I want to go back to my life, my friends, you know, everything I
everything you created. Because
you know, I was based in Canada. Like, that is my life. That's what I want to build and just move on, right? I came here for a temporary visit just to see what's up. And turns out we didn't even have anyone to send me back. So,
man.
So it was a huge, huge, like, just a bummer and a change for me. And I was just like, okay, well, I gotta roll with the punches, all right? I'm not gonna cry about it.
Absolutely.
You gotta do what you gotta do, all right? Move on. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna get a job. And now I applied for a lot of jobs. I applied for maybe 60 jobs. And I didn't get one call back. Not a single.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and the reason is because, like, a lot of jobs in Dubai, they require you to be, like, a college graduate, and I didn't have, I hadn't graduated, so, so I got only, I got one call back, but it was a scam. It was from a scam company.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And so.
Did you fall for it, though, or?
Yeah, I fell for it. I fell for it, because they were the only ones that called me back,
Yeah, you were stressed out and you needed money.
Yeah, so I kind of just took that money. And so, you know what? Now I'm in my room again. And then I'm like, what am I going to do? And then I remembered, right? That DM that I sent the guy. I remember that Facebook group. And I was like, you know what?
Yep.
Let me look into this a little bit more. Like, I'm at rock bottom. I got nothing else. Right? I have $300 in my bank account. Right? So I was like, okay, nobody's hiring me. What am I going to do? Like, I got nothing, right? So, I didn't know anybody here, right? And, all my friends I had from, like, when I was a kid, they had all, like, traveled or, like, moved on. So, now I was just in my room. I had my laptop. I had my $300. And I had this Facebook group of not knowing what they did, not knowing what e-commerce was.
Right.
So, I decided just to Google it, e-commerce, right?
Yeah.
What is it? And so that was the beginning. And so now this happened every single day, almost 24 hours, I would say. You know, like, if I wasn't sleeping or I wasn't eating, I was on my laptop researching. Now this happened for months, every day for months. Yeah.
Right.
And I would build my own website on different platforms, like, I would try Wix, I would try WooCommerce or whatever, and it failed, right? Because I didn't know what I was looking.
Right.
I would watch a lot of YouTube videos, YouTube tutorials, and and so I tried everything, and then eventually I found Shopify, right? Yeah, and so I built the very first website, which is still up right now, actually, right? All of my websites are still running. So I found Shopify and then I built it on that platform because, you know, I was just doing more research and everybody was talking about Shopify dropshipping, blah, blah, blah.
And you're just kind of trialing.
Yeah. And it took me 3 months.
3 months, like
every
24
single day.
Hours a day.
Every single
Pretty
day.
Much
yeah. Yeah. And during these 3 months, I got frustrated. I was losing money. I was crying. I was just lonely. I was just like, I was just down, right? But
because this was it for you. This was the final straw.
If it wasn't this, then I had nothing else. Like, you get me? Like, I was gonna make this work, or nothing was gonna work. Right? So, like, So I got into it and I was doing it every day. Mm-hmm. And eventually it got to the point where that $300 was coming down to $0. So
zero.
I spent everything in like I would try to market, I would try to sell, and nobody would buy from me. Because I sucked, all right? I didn't know how to do it. And nobody wanted to help me. Right? You would message with thousands of people and nobody has your time, right? Nobody wants to get into it.
They're already making their money.
Like, who are you? Right? So And until that day, now I was marketing and testing on Facebook, right? Because it's social media marketing. Facebook has over a billion people that go on Facebook. I'm not sure how many active users they have today, but it goes into the hundreds of millions.
Absolutely, they have more than enough
customers. So Facebook marketing is the name of the game even till today. Okay, so now 3 months later, and this whole time my family, they're watching me like, what is he doing? All right, like, don't you want to apply for more jobs? And because nobody knows what it is that you're doing, right? Because nobody, Shopify and dropshipping on e-commerce, it wasn't like the biggest, like, you know, job opportunity that everybody was talking about, you know?
Yeah.
It wasn't something you would tell your parents, like, hey, I'm going to do this. They'll be like, yeah, go for it. Like, we support you.
Yeah. I mean, even till today, like, a lot of people might not know what dropshipping is. I think 1 in 10 might know that I talk to about this when I tell them about my experience. But I think something to note is back when you started this, David, dropshipping was kind of things that some people would talk about, or e-commerce, something that people would talk about, but it would seem gimmicky, you know, it wouldn't seem like real. A scam, like, you know, a lot of people would be like, you know, Ty Lopez.
Exactly.
Is looking at me in my
this was the age of the Ty Lopez and who else? The Downlogs.
Exactly.
And those guys, right?
Exactly. And you know, it's like you. It's incredible because I didn't even know that you started this, and I'm not going to get into it now, but I just wanted to mention that this is the point. It's not where everyone is just hopping on the bandwagon. There's a million courses on how to do this. Like, it just started. I don't know. Did Shopify just come up?
Yeah. So 2016 was
recently when.
I'm not sure. Like, my whole life has just kind of been like a really coincidental, good. I was just. I don't know how else to like. Yeah.
Trust the process.
Like, phrase it. But I kind of got in at the perfect time. Because this is
why'd
when
you say that?
I would say Facebook adopted the Pixel. This is when, this is when things were kind of getting put together with Shopify, Facebook, with e-commerce. Just basically like the groundwork was being laid, you know? Yeah, perfectly.
Sure.
Like, it was already there, but now it was kind of getting structured in a way that it could be streamlined, you know, easily and everything like that. So, yeah.
Absolutely. So, just to let our viewers know, the Pixel on Facebook is essentially, and correct me if I'm wrong, David, I haven't done this for a while, but it's something that every user's kind of like, every action. Is it on Facebook
Your
website?
It's a Facebook tool that you put on your website, and it tracks everything that everybody else does on the website, right? So when visitors come and they just view the website, Facebook tracks it.
So it's better targeted.
It's completely targeted,
correct.
So Facebook has all your details. They know.
Yeah.
Everything about you. They know we're having this conversation right now. They know what you Google. They know what you eat, what you buy, what you love. They know how many cats you got, how many kids you got. They know everything,
and
which is good for us.
And that's a crazy thing. Yeah, so it's good for e-commerce, but I guess just trying to help some of our viewers that are listening today is you can actually figure out the things that Facebook picked up on you just by going through your settings and kind of looking at it. And it may surprise you the things that Facebook can infer about you. And I guess it has like a computer algorithm or something. I checked mine, and some of the things that it was mentioning about me, it's kind of scary, you know? And I think being me and Dave are kind of in the millennial generation, which is kind of, you know, like, you grew up not too much technology, but then a lot of technology came through and you kind of worked through it and you can work with it. But the generation right after us, Generation Z, is they kind of lived with technology. So like, having targeted ads and all that may not be that weird for them. But I think, I don't know if I can speak for you, Dave, but like, it's a little bit awesome.
Yeah, for the older generation, you know, it's kind of like it's kind of like a disadvantage rather than an advantage. And I can completely understand that, you know?
Absolutely.
It's like invasion of privacy. Like my personal life, on the flip side, I don't post. I'm just the person, like, I'm not social media, like, so actively on social media at all. Right.
Yeah.
So, like, on my Instagram, I literally have zero posts right now. Zero. Right. On Facebook, I haven't posted since like 2012. Yeah. So for somebody who like advertises heavily on Facebook, I am not one to like even use it, or Instagram, or So I'm just kind of like the opposite of somebody like you would want to target. But yeah,
for sure, man. Yeah. And that, and that's just facts, right? And I mean, whether or not people enjoy the fact that they're being tracked with most of their actions on Facebook, if not every, it's just the fact of the game. And you now have the knowledge to change that if you like, and you have the knowledge to take off your pictures.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of like you can't live with it, you can't live without it, you know?
Exactly, right? It's definitely that, for sure. Okay, so sorry, this was a very long tangent, but I actually enjoyed it. So David, kind of just coming back, so you tried the Shopify and then you got in at the best times incidental.
Yeah.
And
so yeah, so the day that so this was the final day, I was gonna run out of money. Yeah, $300. And I tried everything and nothing worked.
Yep.
And so this was the last day, my last buck. I just put it in Facebook and I was like, if this product sells, it sells. If it doesn't sell, I'm gonna have to like ask for money. From my brother, my older brother was still in Canada. I was like, you know what, I'm gonna hit him up, see what he can give me, because nobody knew what I was doing. Yeah, if my friends could, right? I was like, I'm gonna have to keep looking for a job, you know? Yeah,
you're gonna have to do something,
because then I would be out of money completely.
So,
like, this was my money I put into this, you know?
Yep.
So
absolutely.
So now,
so what happened?
As I was sleeping in the middle of the night, right? I heard that sound, right? That beautiful, beautiful, sweet
sound
of the first sale, right? Which is a cha-ching,
you
right?
Try to give
so
us
whenever,
a,
yeah, whenever you make a sale on Shopify, you gotta like hit cha-ching, right? So yeah, this was the first.
Right.
Like I was just sleeping, and in the middle of the night, I heard the cha-ching, right? And I thought it was dreaming, obviously. Right, like I thought, like obviously, like. But my brother and I, because we're kind of like in the same room, he heard it too. And
yep,
yeah, my younger brother, and
younger
he
brother.
Heard it too, and he was so excited, even more than I was. And he was already up, right? Because he knew what I was doing. He saw me like hustling, like he saw me grinding, like day out, right? So like. You know, he couldn't say anything or do anything. Like, he didn't know what it was, you know, like, he could just watch. But when he heard that sound, he got even more excited than I was, right? And so he was like, you know, sale.
Right, right.
Even I myself, I was like, okay, whoa, like, what's going on? And I checked and somebody had purchased.
Yeah.
Right? And that was awesome.
Yeah.
That was awesome. And then after a little bit of time, I heard another one.
So were you awake at this point, or were you did you just kind of wake up for the thing?
Yeah.
Okay,
of course,
I'm looking into
everything. I'm looking at that sale, like it's a newborn baby, right? I didn't want to take my eyes off of it. Yeah, so I just kept my eyes on it. After some time, which is hours, another one came in, and then eventually another one came in. And eventually another one came in, and they just kept coming in, right? Yeah,
wow.
And that was the day that I could have lost my money completely. But instead of losing money, I made more than enough to cover my expenses and make profit.
Yeah. That's insane. And I think this is just such an important story, you know? Like, you know, Dave, you're mentioning that it's incidental. You're mentioning all these hardships. You're mentioning everything that happened. But I mean, like, even going back to Canada, you know, like, looking at the positive side, you took that and you applied it to your e-commerce, and you know, you kept pushing through. It wouldn't work. Okay, this is the last buck that I have left. Let's give it a go. You push through. You know, you're marketing from your sales job. You push that through, you made it work. And this grinder mindset is, I think, pivotal for people that want to be entrepreneurs, e-commerce shops. You know, it's something that you need, because I guess speaking even from my own experience running an e-commerce shop that I did twice, it's you don't know what to expect. Some products sell, some products don't sell. Some images sell, some images don't sell. Some people like you, some people don't like you. And I think, again, this is what the personal process podcast is about. It's sharing this journey. So we went through all of this struggle, Dave, like, and I can't even put it all together.
Yeah, because yeah, you went yeah. through a lot that I haven't even said. So, you know, some people listening to this, they might just think, oh, he only said one or two things. That sounded a little bit hard, but it wasn't. I haven't said a lot of things that happened in between Canada. Like, even in Canada, it was
There's a lot of personal things that you don't want to share to everyone, right?
And it was really, really difficult, you know, absolutely. For me, for my brother, just for my family in general. Like, a lot of difficult things happened. But yeah, these are just the things that I am saying, you know. So even just during this 3 months of, like, me struggling, it was really difficult. Mm-hmm. It was mentally draining. I cannot tell you, because it's every single day, morning, night. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't leaving the house. Grind. I wasn't going anywhere. Yeah. Morning and night, my face was buried on my laptop. All right, doing research for something that you don't know is going to work out. Right, you have no idea if this is going to work, but you know that you have no choice. Right, so my back was against the wall, and yeah, I just knew I had to fight it out.
Yeah,
you know, I literally was crying on some days. Like, yeah, tears were like coming from my eyes because of how frustrated I was, because I didn't know. If somebody had told me, hey, this is gonna work out, I would have that security and that confidence. But
yeah,
nobody told me that. Nobody was there to mentor me or pat me on the back and say it's okay. Nobody was there, right?
Yeah
so nobody, like, it was there, just but you, I had to, like, just do it, like, pick myself up. Every time I would fall, I would pick myself up, right? Yeah, I'll pick myself up and be like, okay, just get back on the laptop, because it's gonna work out one day. You know, I would tell myself this.
Right.
You know. And so it was on that last day of the money that that the sales started to come in. And so yeah, that was the moment that everything changed. You know?
Right. And even on the last day of the money, did you even go negative?
That was the day I made a profit. Because I covered the expenses that I had, which was the marketing and the cost of goods, and I made a little bit of money. It wasn't a lot, maybe like $100 or something.
Hey, that's one third of what you started with, so, and I figured it out finally.
Like, I had more money to put in, you know, into the business, right? So I put in more money, and I got back more the next day. Right, and so I just continued to do that, and I got back more, right? And so it kind of just, like, worked out. Like, that month, like, everything was just, like, cool. Like, that first month, that was when I made, like, $11,000. This was revenue, not profit, right? But that was the most money I had ever seen in my entire life. Like, $11,000, like, come on. And I made this by myself. I was just like, whoa, like, is this real? Like, you know?
That's crazy.
So, yeah, $11,000came in that month. And then I had a decent amount of profit, I would say, like, maybe $3,000, right? And I was like, I'm gonna throw it all back into the business. You know?
Might as well.
And so, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Okay, so the next month, I did the same thing. And then this month, it was $30,000 that came in. Yeah, in revenue.
Jeez.
And I was just, the whole time, I'm just, like, starstruck, right? Yeah, I'm just like, there's no way this is happening. Like, is this actually, like, happening? Right? And then the next month, I think it was $60,000. Yeah. Yeah,
man. And everyone listening, this isn't a year.
Yeah,
this
60,000 dollars in a month.
Okay, so 60,000 a month is $2,000 a day on average, just to get the size of the magazine.
No, this How time old I think I was point? Like 19, 20, 20? 21, maybe 21. Yeah. And so out of that 60,000, I would keep like 15,000-20,000, and that kind of happened quickly. So, like, from $300 in 2 months, I now had like more than $20,000. In my bank. I was 21 at the time, I believe, if I'm not wrong. Around 21 years old,
That's crazy.
Yeah, and so, and then the next month after that, I think it was just 100,000.
Just 100,000. No big deal, guys.
It was 100,000, yeah, in a month. And then at this time, I was just like, okay, you know, I was past the mind-blown stage, you know. I was just like, okay, it's right. Working. You know, it's working.
Yeah.
I'm seeing
it. You hope so. If you're getting $100,000 and it's not working, I'd probably get everyone to jump in that.
Yeah. This was revenue. I wasn't keeping the entire 100 grand. I was keeping maybe like 30 at that time.
That's okay. 30% profit margin is definitely something to be proud about.
Yeah. So now everybody, entire family and... just like everybody I knew, right? Because I was kind of posting this on like Snapchat.
Yeah.
I was just like, whoa, like guys, like what the fuck, right?
Absolutely. And I think I was actually one of the people. I think you posted one on Instagram too, and it might have been that $11,000 one that you were mentioning, I think. And I remember seeing that, and I remember seeing all these videos on YouTube about like the scam about e-commerce, the scam about Shopify and all this. Because again, back in the day when you were starting this, no one actually knew anyone that did this. They just knew all those YouTube people coming into your advertisements saying, you want to be rich, you want to work for 2 hours a week, you want to just sit in the beach in Vietnam, drinking a mojito and have a good time, do e-commerce. And I saw that and I saw you did it, and I'm just like, I was very interested and suspicious at the same time. Like, oh, is this guy doing this for real? Or is he like one of those YouTube guys? So it was just a moment for me that I'm just like, wow, you know, this guy's doing it. I know this guy, he's doing it. Like, wow. And
yeah, yeah. I got a lot of messages.
Oh, I bet.
I got a lot of people just messaging like, yo, whoa, like what's going on? Like, what are you doing?
You trying to take like, me out to the park anymore?
Yeah, like, is this real? Yeah. Oh, no. Girls are girls. Even girls like we're.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, but I just kept my head down. I kept working.
Right.
Yeah. The only mistake I made was I didn't save the money that I was making. So, I was kind of just... Because if you remember, I told you my family was kind of in a rut.
Yeah.
So, most of the money that was coming, I was just kind of paying off all the bills.
Yep, you're helping out your family.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we're moving to a new house and all that stuff, right?
Yep.
So, yeah, I just kind of had to, like, make sure we were good, right?
Yeah.
Which wasn't bad. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I realized, you know, if I had invested a lot of that money, it could have appreciated a lot more, you know, even today. But that's completely fine. You know, we're still, you know, making it right now.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But so yeah, that's just kind of how the whole thing happened with like e-commerce and dropshipping. And you know, like from there, the rest is basically just history. It just kind of kept going up and up and up. We hit $1 million. We hit $2 million. We hit $3 million.
So this is news to me. Yeah, that's just insane. So again, it's just about trusting the process. You know, Dave, you went through a lot. And you harnessed that because you knew that there was a bright outlook from the construction job that you've taken. And you just believed, you put 100 in that, you know? And I mean, it's crazy numbers. It's crazy. Crazy numbers.
Yeah, numbers are crazy, you know? Eventually, I had to stop just sharing on social media. Like,
too many people were contacting you.
Yeah, and people would just like not believe me and just like, you know? So I was just like, you know what? Because I wasn't even posting. Like, this was whenever I would post, it would just be like 24 hours to repost, like nothing to like stick.
So I
decided, you know what, since I don't post anything on my wall anyway, like there's no point, like just with this 24 hour post, you know, like I'm not trying to flex or whatever, so just forget about it. So I stopped posting completely.
I feel that.
So yeah, I just kept my head down, you know, kept working. Eventually, you know, moved to the apartment that I wanted, which was a beautiful, huge apartment. You know, just, I guess, just living good, living nicely.
Man, I love that. So it literally came through. You're mentioning that, you know, you were working on the apartment and then it sucked, but you're just like, oh man, it's such a beautiful apartment. And then, you know, take some time away in the middle and then look at where you are now, right? Beautiful apartments. And I think it just clicked for you that those two things are connected, right?
Yeah. You know, like, I didn't want to, like, laugh because also the thing with me is that I don't like flashy things. So I didn't want to go buy a fancy car or whatever because, like, I really don't care, like, about any of that stuff.
What about a fancy license plate, number one in Dubai?
Oh, well, that goes for, like, more than $30 million. So.
Yeah, for those who don't know, just a little fun fact. Apparently, the lower the number, the greater the price for license plate, right?
Yeah. So for those numbers, it's mostly just the royal family.
Yeah. That's insane.
Yeah, that their royalty and the numbers are royalty as well. So I didn't want to buy any of that flashy stuff. So my dad, once I got my driver's license, my dad just like got me like a low-key car. So I just keep, for the most part, even till today, I just keep my head down, right? Like I am building for the future, you know?
Absolutely.
At least for the, at the very least, I know that if I have to go out with friends or if I have to go, if I want to travel or do any of this, I wouldn't have to worry about like if I'm going to have the money to like sustain myself or whatever. Right?
You got that money.
Yeah, so I know that it's cool, right? So I can do what I want, which is, I guess, you know, the bare minimum of, like, financial security, you know?
Absolutely.
So, yeah, just being able to do what you want when you want to. And I don't work for anybody, and nobody can tell me, hey, why are you taking extended lunch breaks, or why are you doing this, or why are you doing that? So at this point, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, at this point, I have people that I've hired, right? So I have like a lot of staff working, you know, on the backlogs behind the scenes, just getting the orders shipped out the field. I've got the manufacturers, I've got all of that, you know, in motion. So, it is still a grind. You know, I'm not gonna just sit here and say I'm doing nothing and working 4 hours a week. No, it is still a grind, you know, to sustain and keep the money and the flow coming in. But
absolutely.
But so far we're sitting pretty, you know. I'm just taking it easy, chilling. But that's just the whole the short version, I guess.
I
know it's been a long, like, I don't know how many hours it's been right now, but
I think it's been about one, but no, keep going, man. Like, I'm loving this podcast.
So that's just a short version of kind of how I just came from, like, I guess nothing or like struggling to building this thing that is, well, what it is right now, which is just a little bit unbelievable still, but yeah.
And I mean, I wouldn't even say it's just building this thing, because you built yourself, right?
Yeah.
I mean, what do you think changed about you?
One thing I know is that now, I believe, because, okay, a lot of things have happened in my personal life, which has nothing to do with business, that also shaped who I am today.
Right.
Right? So, as you know, and so there were just a lot of things that happened that that has made me mentally strong to
for
know
sure.
that I can overcome anything. I mean, I already had that foundation, but at this point, I know that I can basically whatever happens, I can just, you know,
get through it.
Yeah, you know, just come out on the other side. You know, so
I feel that.
Yeah.
Okay. Sweet. Yeah, I think that's a huge lesson. Speaking of lessons, if you could go back in time, what would you change? Specifically with like your start with your e-commerce business, to keep it a little bit more specific.
I would tell myself if I could. Okay, I don't know what I would change because I think the process is kind of what made me who I am today. One thing that I would do, actually, one thing I would do is I would save more.
You would save more.
Save more, yeah, definitely. I know because one thing I like to do is I like to give. I'm a giver. So when somebody asks me, hey, I need this because of this, I empathize a lot. And I'm like, here you go. You know, I know.
Because you've kind of been through the trenches yourself.
Yeah, you know, I know how hard life can be. So whenever somebody comes to me like, hey, I need this, I'm like, sure, go ahead. You know, and so
absolutely.
I know that it's not bad to do that. But one thing I know is that if you secure yourself, you're going to be able to help other people better.
Absolutely.
Exactly. So right now, what
that's
trying to do is
point.
I want to build to the point where I'm completely secure, where I know that I can keep on giving and giving as much as I want to, you know, as how I want to, knowing that it's not going to, you know, run out one day. You know, I got passive income coming in, just like securing myself, you know, in different streams of income to help as many people as I can, you know.
Absolutely. And I think that's a really good segue because, David, you're mentioning that you started some mentorships to get that alternative source of income. How's that going?
So yeah, it is going. It's definitely going. Pre-COVID, yeah. I had partnered up with a friend of mine, and basically what he would do was he would bring me students, because
yep.
I was way too busy with my business to like acquire students. So, and yep. I didn't want to teach, right? Because I had the knowledge, I had the skill set.
Yep.
I had everything basically to empower somebody and to empower another person to begin and start their own business. But
and change their life, yeah. Right? Change their life, really.
Yeah.
Because that's what happened with yours.
Exactly. And I knew that if I did have students, I could, you know, create the time to teach them and coach them. But just to acquire the students, I just wasn't,
You didn't have the time.
Exactly. I just didn't have the time to like put out a course or a video like, hey, I'm sure. doing this. So I did partner up with a friend of mine. He said, because I did get a lot of requests, actually. I was getting a lot of requests, but they were not from Dubai. And
right.
the friend of mine, he was like, he knew people who were here and who wanted to start a business in e-commerce and dropshipping. And so, yeah, we partnered up and he told me, hey, I'll bring the students. You teach them.
Yep.
You get them going. And yeah, we can see how we can just make it work. We can change their lives and we can also make a living from it. And I was like, cool.
Sweet.
Yeah, so we did that. We got a bunch of students, actually. Like, he brought me a bunch of people. And yeah, I will coach them. And yeah, so far it's been going good. I actually helped even a friend of mine, a couple friends of mine in the UK.
Me included.
Yeah, you as well. Yeah, a friend of mine in the UK, he got his going. You know, he's traveling all around Europe right now. You know, like...
That's crazy.
Yeah,
hopefully not during COVID, but...
No, this was pre-COVID. This was pre-COVID. But
okay,
he
good,
is
good.
So grateful. Like, you know, whenever I talk to him, he's just always grateful.
Yeah.
Because it's life-changing, you know. It's going from working a job or like just being stuck in the 9-to-5 to completely doing whatever you want, however you want, whenever you want, you know.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, and I get it, because looking back, I am so grateful that I went into the finance section of bodybuilding that day, because if I hadn't... No, really, because if I hadn't, I wouldn't be
yeah.
here. So I am super grateful to the person who posted that thread. I'm super grateful to him taking me to the Facebook group, you know. So, and I will always be for the rest of my life, because it was the spark that got everything. You know,
it was a catalyst, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It would never have happened if
you weren't angered that day to go to the finance section of bodybuilding.com.
Bodybuilding.com, like, yeah, which exists, by the way.
It's crazy. I wouldn't even think that they would throw that into bodybuilding, but I guess, you know what?
Yeah,
it saved your life.
The firm
well, it didn't
had
save
a lot
your life,
things.
But it really helped you.
Yeah, the firm has a lot of things there, but yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so, that's the entire story, I guess, until just where we are today, you know. It's basically just
absolutely.
Been, yeah, building for the most part.
Yeah. So, David, if we have some viewers that want to check out your mentorship program, how would they best get in contact with you? Do you have an email or anything like that?
Well, I haven't set up a full course or a full website yet, but if I know mm-hmm. if people don't want to get in touch with me for coaching or to learn, you can just DM mm-hmm. me on my Instagram and I will get back to you at my earliest convenience and we can talk and see how we can figure out a schedule to work
plan.
Together. Yeah.
Yeah. So what's your Instagram handle?
Oh, so it is Dave Kings, D-A-V-E and Kings. Mm-hmm. My last name Kings, but with a Z at the end, not an S. So Dave,
yeah.
DaveKingz.
Just for the swag, I love it. So I guess, David, we're probably going to shut it down pretty soon. Is there anything that you think you'd like to speak on before we do that?
Well, if there's anything I've wanted anybody to take away from this entire hour or how long it's been, it's just, you know, trust the process. You know, that is the name of this podcast. Mm-hmm. Know that it's going to work out. Eventually, it is a little bit of luck, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is a little bit of luck. It's a little bit of, but it's mostly hard work, right?
Yeah.
It's mostly hard work. It's the sweat, the tears, it's the blood, it's everything you gotta put. But just trust that it's gonna work out, and just don't give up, no matter what happens, right?
So kind of be ready, work hard, get prepared for that luck to happen.
Yeah, and it is gonna happen, no matter what route you take. You know, if you're just talking financially. There's a million ways to make $1 million. So whichever way you choose, whichever way you choose, if that's your goal, if you want to make money or whatever it is, if you want to get married, if you want to, whatever it is, right? If you want to travel, if you want to build something, just know that you can do it if you just keep your head down and focus and put the work in, it will happen. It Absolutely. Doesn't matter how long it takes. It doesn't matter if it takes a year, if it takes 2 years. There are many stories you've heard like this, right? Mine is not the first. It's not going to be the last, but just know that it works out. Trust the process.
But absolutely. But I think the main thing that we really went through today and what this podcast was really meant to do is it shares a life story. It's not just, you know, like I struggled and this happened. It's like, this is my whole journey. International student, construction worker, salesperson, door knocker to during the freezing cold, which in Vancouver, it's not the coldest temperature wise, but the humidity really seeps into your skin. So it's, you know, all these things that you've gone through, they've shaped who you are. They've made you the person that you are. And it just goes to show, you know, it's the personal process. It's the trust the process, you'll get there. It's the mentality that you will get there by putting the work. It might not be when you're 17 and in university, which I'm kind of jealous of, which is pretty sweet. but, you know, it's, you know, there's ups and downs in life. And let me ask you this, David. Did you ever think when you were 17 going to university that you're going to do something like this?
No, of course not. How could I?
Yeah. Right?
Yeah, I wanted to just study graphic design and just go make like movies, like just do the VFX for movies, visual effects. So that was just what I wanted to do when I got into college. I didn't know where I thought I'd go to business.
Yeah. And I mean, I think one thing that I guess we can kind of expand on for people who are very unfamiliar with e-commerce is e-commerce isn't just business. It's not just learning how to make a website. It's not just marketing. It's not, you know, making videos. It's everything put together. You need to, you know, make your own pictures. You need to make the graphics. You need to learn Photoshop. You need to learn marketing. You need to learn Facebook marketing, Instagram, Google AdSense.
No, there's a lot. There's a lot of it. It's building the website, and your website has to be a website that converts. That in itself is a process, right? And then the most difficult part of it all, right? Because there's the marketing as well, right? You got to market, you got to convince people to buy, and there's a whole funnel that you got to put them through. But the most difficult part is knowing what to sell.
Yes.
Because there's a million competitors that you got, and there's even 100 million products that you got to choose from, right?
Yeah.
And so now with this just vast majority of products, and with the limited amount of cash you have to begin with, you got to pick the right one. And it's easy to burn through cash not knowing what is going to sell and how you're going to sell it. So it does take a lot of skill to eventually find out, you know, what people react to, how they buy, you know, what they buy, and just to know different markets and different buying behaviors.
Absolutely. And I think just to kind of add on to that, I honestly would recommend e-commerce to everyone, especially if you're at a young age. And Dave, feel free to chime in at any time, but you really explore so many different avenues. And, you know, like a lot of people, especially when they're young, I keep hearing, you know, I don't know what I want to do in my life. I don't know who I am. I don't know what I'm about. But when you're doing e-commerce, you do so many different things, and it's all integrated into one goal that you find out who you are. You know, for me personally, I've really found out that marketing is something that I excel at. And, you know, building websites I'm pretty good at too, and speaking. But marketing is something that it's just my bread and butter, you know, like just give me something to market and I can do it, whether online or in person. These are just some things that I learned about myself, and I can apply this to any field.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, so like Dave, like what would you say is your killer combination? Or are you just the master of all fields?
No, I wouldn't say I'm a master at everything, obviously. But I mean, I am a jack of all trades. I mean, I am well skilled in every different area of the business, right? So first of all, it's just building up a team of people, right? So as you grow, as your business grow, you have to, because you become the boss, you become the owner of the company, the owner of the business. So it's also learning how to manage people, right? How to make sure that your team is helping you grow the business. You guys are working together in unity, and you guys are not, you know, basically causing the business to fall apart or take a loss or whatever, right? So you want to grow and you want to grow. And so it's getting and holding. You have to be the glue that holds the team together, right? Since you are at the head.
That's a very important
point. Yeah, so there's that. It's being a leader, right? So, and then if we're talking about skills, there's a lot of skill sets here. So basically it's graphic design, it's web design, it is marketing, it is knowledge on different platforms and different areas of marketing. So whether it's pictures, videos, copywriting, there's different areas of marketing. So there's many different areas that you can build skill sets that can take you not just in e-commerce but in different fields as well, right? So
absolutely,
yeah. I would say for myself, I would say I'm okay. I'm pretty good at like almost every single area of e-commerce right now. So
for sure. Yeah. You've put in the work.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
It's a skill that you can build over time, you know?
Absolutely. And like I mentioned, it's something to get to know yourself. It's something to build your skills. And whatever career you go into, these are essential skills nowadays. Website development, like learning a little bit of code. And it's not that you need to even develop your whole website yourself. You can use Shopify, which makes a pretty... finishes the majority of things. But just by knowing certain amounts of code, I think... I was even helping Dave at one point figuring out how to edit some of the emails sent out automatically after a purchase is made, just to, you know, add in certain segments that really make the email thread a little bit more effective. And just by these little processes, you learn so much more about yourself. You grow as a person, and hopefully through this process, you can even make your life out of this. Because like we're talking with Dave, he's been doing this for too many years now. And, you know, it's... It's really interesting, and I would highly, highly recommend it. You know, it's whether or not become successful is kind of, you know, I think it should be secondary, because it's really about growing as a person, and you just learn so much about yourself.
Yeah, definitely.
Wow.
So, but it's also trusting the process that it is going to work, you know? I know a lot of people, they get into it and they quit, but...
Yeah,
it's just, you know, you got to stick with it if it's something that you enjoy. So I would say get into it. If it's e-commerce that you want to do, get into it and trust the process. Mm-hmm. Know that's going to work out, but also have fun with the process.
Yeah.
Don't look at it as a chore.
Have fun.
Don't look
process.
At it as
huge. Huge.
Don't look at it as something that, you know, I'm just like, I know it's going to make money, but I'm just like, okay, let's just do it. No. So in those 3 months that I was working at first, like, was frustrating at times, but for the most part, I love being on my laptop, you know? Like, I've always been on my laptop, infographic design or visual effects or whatever I want to do. It was always going to be on a computer or laptop anyway. So, yeah, I just loved it. And so, even till today, I love it, you know?
That's huge. I think you just hit the nail on the head with the hammer on that one, Dave. Yeah. You know, and one thing that I wanted to share just quickly about that, whether or not you do this e-commerce or anything in life, I learned this from my psychology course, but essentially the further away a reward is in your life, the less value it's going to be for you and the less likely you are to pursue that goal. For example, if you're doing e-commerce and you're just looking at the $10 million that you're going to make in 6 years and you're saying it's going to be like Dave, you know, it's not going to really propel you forward or give you that drive, which would lead you to, you know, just cancel and say, you know, whatever, it's not for me. But if you listen to Dave's advice and you say, you know what, every day is going to be fun. Every day I'm going to be learning something new, and you're going to enjoy yourself. There's a minimal delay, and that's going to exponentially increase your chance of actually sticking with it.
Exactly.
And this is a huge point, whatever facet you go into. So... yeah, I think that's pretty much all I can say. Is there anything else, Dave?
I think that's pretty much it. You know, I think there's a lot to take away from everything we have said.
Huge podcast.
Might be a bit of information overload, but
For sure.
Yeah, I just hope like one or two things does stick with, you know, whoever does listen to this, you know.
Oh, I think there's going to be a lot. Yeah, I think, first of all, like, thank you so much, Dave, for coming through. You were... one of the people that I was really looking forward to share, because even though I didn't know some of the things we talked about in this process podcast here, we knew that you had your struggles, but you literally turned that into energy that propelled you forward like a jet, right? And I think I just want to inspire our viewers, because it's so easy to say, hey, you know, I'm going to be working this 9-to-5 as a janitor or construction worker. What was that joke that you said? Like a toothbrush cleaner?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, scrubbing the floor with a toothbrush. But, with a toothbrush, yeah.
Man, you know, it's like, I want to give people the energy, because, you know, when I saw you do it, that's what gave me the energy to go and try e-commerce. And I'm hoping that just through these stories, we can share this with other people and it can propel them to, you know, start that podcast, you know, start that e-commerce business, get some help from David. I mean, why not, right? Decrease the learning curve. Yeah. And David's a cool guy, as you can notice from this podcast. So I would highly recommend that if you have the time. And, you know, it's just really just showing people that it can be done. It can be done. Is it difficult? Yes. If you've gone through tragedies, does it suck? Yes. But, you know, you can make that difference. And I'm very happy to go through this podcast with you, Dave, because, you know, you are kind of like the, what's that, archetype? I don't know if that's the right word for this, but for the type of image that I want this podcast to be. And it doesn't necessarily have to be making $10 million. And it could just be, you could have just been in that place where you just started your Shopify account. But just showing people's process and they can go down, they can go up, that's what makes a difference.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Really glad to be on as well. You know, I'm glad I could just share a little bit. If at the very least to inspire somebody, it's going to mean a lot. It's going to mean
Absolutely.
A lot. I know how one thing or just any little thing can change a life entirely. And that has been my experience, and if I can do that for somebody else, why not? You know, so yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Dave. So I think we'll cut it there. So thank you again. And thank you to all the viewers tuning into the Personal Process Podcast. We hope this has helped your development, has shown you a little bit about e-commerce, and has really, you know, just inspired you to take initiative, try something new, and trust the process. Thank you very much, and we'll see you on the next episode. Hey guys, Parham back after another amazing episode with another amazing guest. We hope we added value into your life and you took away some tips that you could add to your tool belt and fuel your process forward. If you do know any friends or family members who would enjoy the same value that you got today, we'd really appreciate if you told them and let them know about us. And, you know, if you could also subscribe and rate the podcast, well, that would just be fantastic. If you did all three, well, you'd really fuel our process forward. So thank you in advance. And always remember, trust the process.